Hi, I'm really happy to be with you in this moment, wherever you are. Today, I'm going to be sharing with you about the seasonal gateway of the Aries equinox, which is starting on March 19th and 20th, and also how the eclipse season is really brought into the equinox energies. The eclipses will begin officially on March 25th. With a Libra lunar eclipse and on April 8th for a total solar eclipse in Aries. I'm also going to be sharing with you a bit about the planet, the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus. So we astrologers like to talk about sacred timings and that we know the what time it is. You know, what are the initiation cycles? What is the energy available to us? What is the invitation and how is it reflected in the as above, so below mysteries? And so that's what I'm going to be talking about today. You know, the ancient peoples who really watched and spoke of the sacred timings really looked at the new moons and the full moons and the eclipses and the solstices and the equinox and the major alignments and when we were at a turning of an age. And we find ourselves in all of those places all at once. And as I'm saying that, I know that maybe a lot of you are feeling like, yeah, it feels like everything, that movie, everything all at once happening. And so I'm going to do my best to share with you what is the invitation and how to work with us of this time? So at the Aries equinox, we have the days and nights are of equal length everywhere, all across the globe. And astrological Aries, which is when the sun moves into 0 degrees Aries, starts the astrological new year. And it's typically a time that we're letting go of old habits and making sure our relationships have healthy communications and have balanced reciprocity. And also when we're looking at what wants to be expressed through you in this new season of growth and new beginnings. And season of growth it is. I am looking right now at a backyard full of pansies and daffodils and purple blossoms. And today the red tulips came up. And, you know, I was out of town until about a week ago. And when I left, everything was barren in winter. When I came back, everything was blossoming. This is a time of year in the Northern Hemisphere when everything, the energy of nature is moving really, really quickly. And the energy of Aries reflects this because the signs are a reflection and a description of the seasonal energies. And we'll get into a bit more about Aries because there's so much going on with Aries right now. But I want to just talk to you about a couple of things about the equinox chart that are important. So Venus, which represents our connection to love and relationships and creativity and what we value and to the feminine, the divine feminine within us, is in Pisces. And Venus is conjunct Saturn in this chart. So this is all about our relationships. And Pisces is about feeling that big love, that felt sense that love is real. Because of Saturn being conjunct Venus in Pisces, there it brings a certain down-to-earthness and a practicality and a grounding of the very mystical, visionary, healing, creative Piscean energy. This is an opportunity to connect to your inner guidance in a grounded way and to learn to trust the higher wisdom that's coming through you and that's guiding you. And then Saturn helps you to ground this and bring this through to reality, to make it practical, to make it work. Saturn also is there to support you in discerning what is working for you in your relationships and what is not. Where there is reciprocity and balance and where is not. Where there is an opportunity for repair and communication and where things need to be let go. And that's not just Venus in Pisces. That's also where the nodes of the moon are. And I'll get into that a bit later, but that's a theme of the season, is looking at your relationships and, bringing a discerning eye to them and some energy to them, and also connecting to that big love that Pisces has, that amazing creativity. The sun is at 0 degrees Aries, but its sun is also conjunct Neptune. And that's also adding Piscean energy. Neptune is a higher octave of Pisces. So this very fiery, dynamic, quick moving, enthusiastic, courageous energy of the sun in Aries is connected to that beautiful, cosmic, mystical, creative, visionary, healing, loving energy of Neptune. And this helps us in experiencing how we are woven into the fabric of the big love, you know, and how we can attune to the invisible world, to nature, to our guides, to our visions, and to our dreams. But it also is assisting us in dissolving what is no longer truthful or real, or when we realize that we've been in an illusion or in a delusion and not connected to reality, helps us to dissolve some of those false ideas, false identification and beliefs, and to connect us to what is really true. And we have the moon in Leo at this time, opposite Pluto, and squared by Haumea and trined by Sedna. So when Pluto is opposite the moon, we know that this chart is really about the seasonal energies. So it's the birthday of the season, and so these are the energies that we're working with through the season. Pluto is about a deep exploration of our emotions and transformation. And I'll talk a bit more about Pluto, but we have this Plutonian deep unearthing truth, unearthing emotions, deep diving to transform what is no longer serving us as we step into some really new energy that's coming in. So I've shared with you a lot about Sedna, but I just want to say that Sedna is that energy, that mythical story of when we are holding on to a pattern of staying attached to a system of belief or relationships or a culture that is abusive. And in this story, Sedna is thrown off of the canoe by her father, who's supposed to love and support her, because he worries that having her in the canoe might bring the wrath of the gods on him. And she climbs back on, and he cuts off her hands, so she can't climb back on. And in the story, she metamorphosizes into a dolphin, a mermaid, a sea creature, and she becomes the goddess of the waters. And I'm going to talk to you more about this theme of metamorphosis, and in particular in association with the eclipses. But we also have, so it's like this reminder to let go of the ways that you are abusing yourself, the ways that you are attached to systems that are not life-giving, that are harming you, and for our culture to disengage and to let go and to trust that we're moving into something that we don't yet know. And yes, this transformation is happening so slowly and we're so impatient, but in the grand scheme of the timings that we're in, it's a blip on the screen. But for us, we just so want changes to happen and to be manifested, and it can be very frustrating. But with Sedna there, it's a reminder. Some of these dwarf planets are reminders that in the background or underneath and all around us is the energy of the new earth, is the energy of regeneration and metamorphosis and transformation, are the seeds that we are watering for something new to be born. But it is a very slow process. And we have many lessons that we're learning along the way and ways that we're growing. And we're letting go of a lot. We're letting go of a lot. So we also have Haumea, which is the Hawaiian fertility goddess, squaring the moon, which is another an ingredient in the pot, in the cauldron of transformation that we're in, that reminds us that we are connected to incredibly regenerative and transformative energies where life and new forms can appear out of nowhere, out of nothing. You know, Haumea births out of rocks, the planets, the islands of Hawaii, these beautiful, lush fruits, animals, and she's with us at the solstices and the equinoxes. She's very present, as is Manwë. So over the next several years, we have these dwarf planets aligned with our charts at the solstices and equinoxes. They're weaving this regenerative. This is another regenerative creator god. So we have this available to us at this time and over the next several years, as we are really going through quite an unraveling and quite a confrontation with oppression and war and violence and unfairness. And as we navigate this, we are learning how to transform this into something regenerative. And this is very alive over the next few months. So, I want to talk about the nodes of the moon now, and the eclipse energies. So all year and up until January, we've got the south node in Libra and the north node in Aries. And the south node represents collectively what we, you know, what do we need to let go of? And the north node is, what do we need to embrace? Where are we moving into? What is the collective destiny? And we have these eclipses happening on these nodes. So on March 25th at 5 degrees Libra, we have a lunar eclipse. And so if you have places on your chart that are near 5 degrees Libra or Aquarius or Gemini or Cancer or Libra or Aries or Capricorn, this eclipse is affecting you, but it's affecting the collective as well. So the south node eclipse on March 25th is about a release point. And we're being asked to let go of how we may have been stuck in patterns of the shadow of Libra. And the shadow of Libra is where you have given away your power and your voice to keep the peace, where you have not shown up, where you've been overly compliant in your relationships, where you have been valuing stability over growth, people pleasing, and what you need to leave behind in your relationships so that they can flourish, as well as what you need to leave behind in your relationship to yourself. And as far as your relationship to others and yourself, Libra is about balance. It's about sacred reciprocity. And so there's definitely going to be a spotlight on where in your life, does there need to be more reciprocity, either on your part, you know, coming from a place of more generosity towards others, or maybe it's more generosity towards yourself, or where in your relation, which relationships where you feel like, yeah, there's some pretty good back and forth and generosity towards one another, and where you feel like it's not balanced. So this is a time to bring that up and to see what repair can be done. And if repair cannot be done, are these the kinds of relationships you want to continue with or let go of as you move forward in your life? It's also a reminder that as we experience so much division that's been stoked and nurtured in so many ways, this is a reminder that we human beings love to be in relationship with one another. We love friendship and fellowship. And this is a time of looking, letting go or moving into true cooperation among diverse points of view. How can we let go of holding on to what we think is the absolute truth? How can we hold on to our truth and yet value the difference of what another person brings to the table that may be very different from us? And how can we hold space for our differences so that we can work together on the problems that we are all facing? You know, this is a time that is associated with waking up to, we are all facing some very serious issues that we got to pull together on, and that focusing on our differences is not going to help. So eclipses are turbocharged events that set into motion internal and external changes and breakthroughs. So the end of March and throughout April are some of the most potent astrological times of the year. What else do I want to say about that? Oh, we also have, at the time of the equinox, I'm bouncing around, I know, I every few years have to do a treatment on my face because of my extremely light complexion and sun damage to get rid of precancer cells. And I'm at the tail end of a treatment. And so my mind is a little, I might go back and forth a bit and weave around. It's definitely affected how my mind is working. And so let's talk about the mind. Mercury at the equinox is conjunct the North Node, and it's conjunct the North Node all the way through to the eclipse on April 8th. And so we can just say that this is that there's a lot that wants to be communicated. There's a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of deep listening to one another and to ourselves that is wanting to come forth. And Mercury has something important to communicate. So that has to do with our unconscious communicating to our unconscious, but also in terms of the collective or the macro level, it's about a spilling out of information. I know we've been getting a lot of it, and there's going to be more of it, more and more and more. Things that were hidden, things that you didn't know, that we need to know so that we can like soberly embrace reality and let go of some of the illusions into the delusions that are really separating us, keeping us apart, so that we can't really spring forward into a new beginning, taking actions that matter the most. And that's what this time is really about. So Aries, the North Node in Aries, Mercury in Aries, the sun will be moving. The sun is in Aries and the moon will be in Aries on April 8th during that total solar eclipse. And Chiron is in Aries. Chiron, the wounded healer, who I'm going to speak about next. So on April 8th, we have this amazing total solar eclipse. And it's really baked into the equinox energies because eclipses are felt weeks, sometimes months before, and their effects last and unfold over the next 6 months. So something can happen, you know, the energy can shift at the eclipse, but then the event in your life or in the collective doesn't happen for a few months. But we can be pretty assured that the month of April, there will be many, many events that are actually taking place, but many more will unfold. And then over the next 2 years, they continue to affect us profoundly, creating breakthroughs, creating changes, turbocharging and highlighting and lighting up what we need to be paying attention to so that certain aspects can be eclipsed so that we can move forward. In a solar eclipse, we have eclipses are associated with real accelerated radical change that is aligned with evolutionary growth, especially when it's a North Node eclipse, as the one on April 8th is. So March 25th, it's more about what do we need to let go of? And I shared a bit about that. And on April 8th is what do we need to embrace? And So the moon, the sun, Chiron, and the north node will all be exact at 19 degrees in Aries. And what we're going to see for those of you who are lucky enough to see the eclipse is you're going to have a perfectly beautiful day, sunshine, hopefully if there aren't too many clouds where you are. And then the moon will get in between the earth and the sun and cover the light of the sun. And when where there's totality, where there will be in Texas and parts of Arkansas and places in the United States, it will get totally pitch black and the flowers will close up. And the birds will, the crickets will come out, and then it'll get really eerie. It'll be like black night, and then the sun will start to reappear. And so what we see is 24 hours happens in a few minutes. And those of you who are going to be present for this, you'll notice it really feels, you're going to really feel it in your body. Eclipses are deeply felt, especially when they are visible, or if they happen to be happening on your chart. So anyone that has anything near in the fire signs, near 19 degrees, that's Aries, Sagittarius, and Leo, maybe this would be like 16 degrees to like 24 degrees, or in the householder signs of Aries, Libra, Cancer, or Capricorn, you're going to feel this the most. We're also going to see it in the collective. So what's this all about? Aries. Let's talk about Aries. Aries, the fire sign. Aries is about enthusiasm, commitment to a higher purpose, a cause or a mission that is aligned with one's values, that is aligned to justice, sovereignty. Aries is about leading the way. Aries loves to lead the way into new territory. Aries is very fast-paced, fiery, creative, filled with fire and light. She's courageous and strong and independent. And there's a word to describe Aries that is sovereign. And I'm noticing that this word is sort of in the zeitgeist of our culture. And I think that's because there's just been a lot of Aries and fire energy astrologically that has to do with sovereignty. So we're seeing it reflected. And I actually have to laugh. I'm like, wow. The word sovereignty is what we would really use for a north node in Aries. And it seems to be a word that everyone is using. Everyone wants to have sovereignty. Aries is that I am sense within oneself. Aries is the warrior protector. She protects and supports the sacredness of all life and the earth and justice. Now, what happens when Aries is conjunct Chiron? Who is Chiron? What is Chiron? What is happening at this eclipse? Well, Chiron, who is in exact alignment with the sun and the moon at the time, and the north node at the time of the eclipse, is another symbol of shamanic healing or complete metamorphosis. And so this theme of metamorphosis is very, very up right now. So this eclipse is about our collective healing and where we feel our deepest fracture points, where we see unhealthy behaviors that arise when we act from a place of wounding, when we act from our childhood, ancestral past lives, or the wounds of the culture that have been passed on to us through our conditioning. When we act from those places, Chiron shows us where those places are in deeply felt ways and deeply obvious ways, and invites us, or helps us really, to move beyond the effect of these wounds so that we can act with the healthy aspects of Aries, which is the protector, the warrior protector, not the warrior destroyer. In fact, the shadow or the wounding of the Aries archetype is when human beings are made to conquer and destroy others rather than to support and protect. But that is just one of the ways that we see profoundly in the world today. people who are wounded, who've been harmed, who then wound others. We see that on the macro level in the Middle East right now, but we also see that in our personal lives. We all do it. This is an opportunity with this eclipse to really eclipse someone, to really, well, the eclipse really brings it up in a big way, but also supports over the next 6 months. And I don't know what that will mean for Gaza. You know, there's no way to really predict how this will affect particular events, but it is an invitation for us to really be looking at within ourselves and within the world. We don't want to be acting from our woundedness. It hurts. It's painful. It doesn't work. It doesn't help. And there is this medicine available to us. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about how do we metamorphosize? What's the medicine? How do we distill? So in a Chiron process that we are all in collectively, how do we distill an elixir from our wounds so that we can make it a medicine that can offer to other people? So Chiron is one of my favorite beings. When I was like 22 years old, I had a lot of I had a lot of encounters with Chiron. I was in Greece and I ended up traveling to all of these Chironic healing temples, Asclepian healing temples. So Chiron was half human and half divine. And because he was half divine, he was a miracle healer. He was also a teacher. So Chiron is associated with becoming a mentor for others, meeting with mentors, but also really a deep dive into your deepest fracture points, but also moving beyond the effect of them. But also that means moving beyond self-identifying with yourself as wounded or as victim or as unworthy. It's like those feelings can be there. Those scars can be there, but this is a process that invites us to not over-identify or to use our wounds as an excuse for not moving forward with creating the more beautiful world or the more beautiful life that we are longing for and that the world needs from us, our lives need from us. So it's an amazing time. It's a very strong time. So Chiron was a shamanic healer who needed to embrace his humanness in order to actually fully heal. And yes, I am still recording. So Chiron was a healer and a mentor for others. And he was like, he did it all. He did herbs and homeopathy and energy medicine and psychic healing and dream healing and numerology and astrology. He was like a master healer and a master teacher. And he was on his way to a party and Hercules was drunk and he was flinging poison arrows. There are many versions of the story. This is one of them. Hercules was bragging and flinging poison arrows into the woods. And unfortunately, Chiron was trotting along and a poison arrow accidentally hit him in the foot. Chiron didn't do anything wrong. Hercules didn't do anything wrong. It just happened. And because Chiron was half human, the poison, he could feel the poison. But because he was an immortal, he wasn't going to die of this wound. So he really experienced the suffering of the wound. And he ended up going into the underworld. And in the underworld, there was Prometheus. Prometheus, who actually is associated with Aquarius and Uranus, which will be part of our story coming up in terms of what is really around the spring. Prometheus stole fire from the gods and gave it to humans, reminding humans that we are divine. And the gods didn't like it at the time. And so they sent him into the underworld and his punishment was buzzards eating his liver every day. And then the liver would grow back and they do it again the next day. And this went on for hundreds and hundreds of years. And Chiron was in a state of compassion. And he's like, wow, now I know what pain truly, truly is. And since I'm in pain forever from this wound, I'm going to free you because I can't, you know, I feel your suffering and I want to release you from it with my kindness and my compassion and my understanding. and he takes the place of Prometheus. And the gods look upon this and they're like, whoa, that act blew us away. We are so in awe of your compassion and your kindness and your love. We are freeing you from this. We are freeing you from the suffering of your wound. And we are turning you into a constellation. So we are metamorphosizing you into a constellation. And so what we learn from this is that Chiron had to embrace his humanness. And he had to have compassion for the wounds and to open up to forgiveness, love, kindness, generosity. This is how we heal our wounds. This is how we move forward into this new beginning. So we do not carry, we can't do all of it, but it's a big invitation. We need to have the courage to commit to this alchemical inner work, to commit to that fierce, sacred warrior within us all that wants to stand up and protect and stand for sacredness, stand for forgiveness, stand for compassion, stand for that we are all in this together and we need to come together in order to move forward. So Chiron processes can be painful because we need to feel the wounds so that we can heal them. We can't just understand them from a mental place. We need to experience whatever it is that is the fracture point that wants to come up. Whatever those unhealthy behaviors are that you may have as an individual and that we may have as a collective or that we are seeing acted out in the collective that are coming from this woundedness and not from this higher place. So whenever you extend to yourself, let me use myself as an example. When I get really scared, and I need to protect a part of myself, and I'm in an unhealthy part of myself, there is a part of me that I call Rangda. And Rangda is a fire-breathing dragon in Balinese mythology. And my husband and I joke whenever Rangda is coming out. Now, what does it mean to alchemically metamorphosize in this situation where maybe I'm expressing anger, breathing, you know, too much fire in a way that's never going to get me the love and the connection that I might want with, so for example, my husband. Yes, this has been known to happen. So shaming her isn't going to work. So what really works actually is extending compassion to her. Oh, Rangda, you know, and I actually literally can feel her. And I give her love because she's trying to protect me. And when I do that, what am I doing? What are we all doing when we get in touch with love and kindness and compassion and understanding instead of pushing away? We actually access our deep inner wisdom. We access our inner divinity, really, because it's that inner divinity that is connected to the fabric of the love that has birthed us all and that lives in us all. So now we're connected to the higher consciousness or the higher love that what I spoke about in the beginning, the Piscean or the Neptunian connection to infinite love and healing, compassion, empathy, deep listening, rather than trying to change it. So here's the thing, in a Chiron cycle, trying to fix a part of ourselves doesn't work. What works is empathy and compassion. And that creates an alchemical metamorphosis that cannot be completely explained by me in this moment, but that it's what we experience. It opens up space. It opens up space for that, you could say, shadow expression to become an ally, to, you know, to be loved, to, you know, to dissolve into my personality so that then I can express, you know, something different. And it's, I hope that made sense. I was trying to bring this into a very tangible, practical, down to earth way, example. So, moving beyond the effect of the wound. So, okay. So when I was 22, I went to Greece And I went to these Chiron Asclepian healing temples, and I actually met an acupuncturist on the road. And it was then that I got this sort of first hint of maybe I might be a healer. I thought I was going to be a college professor, an anthropologist, or a lawyer, a human rights lawyer. And anyway, I come back from this trip. I'm 22 years old, and I lose my eyesight. And it's at this, and you can't go to law school if words are floating off the page. And you can't go and get a PhD in reading, like, I don't know, like 8 books a week if words are floating off the page. So I was actually in a major Chiron cycle, and I went to an astrologer, and she explained all this to me. And she also explained that some people who are called to be healers, they are the wounded healer. We are all wounded healers, actually, but some of us, we're really called to a profession of healing, and it's through our own woundedness, our own health problems, our own emotional stuff, and finding ways of making space for our humanness, for our imperfections, for self-love and self-compassion that opens space for deeper healing. That's when we start to then find maybe some solutions. Now, I never really regained my full eyesight. I've regained a great deal of it, however, in magical and amazing and cosmic ways. But it did change my life, and it put me on a healing path. And I had to embrace my humanness and my woundedness and share that with my clients as needed so that they knew they weren't alone. And I would share how I came to heal. I had so many health problems in my 20s. And becoming an herbalist and an acupuncturist and an energy healer and a shamanic healer were the things that I needed to do to come home to myself, to bring myself forth into this world and who I needed to be. Another example of this is that, again, it was in my early 20s that I was working with a Cherokee medicine woman, and I was invited into a society for healers, and we were basically learning shamanic healing, although we weren't calling it that. And I went on a journey with my guides, and they took me to meet, at this time, I didn't even know what an inner child was, but it was my wounded inner child. And they just wanted me to feel her pain. And in that moment, I did. And many, many behaviors that were self-destructive and self-abandoning left. They just left because I was able to be present for an aspect of myself that I didn't even at age 22 know existed. So it's making space for those fracture points within us. And let me just say that the month of April, we're just going to be seeing more and more and more examples of how deeply wounded our culture is. And the need to, it's almost like, do not pass go. You must face these wounds and begin to really deeply heal them so that you can actually access the healthy areas, the enthusiasm, the commitment to purpose, to mission, to a cause that's bigger than you are, to protection of what is sacred and all life, to bringing joy. Aries is about action. It's about doing. It's about getting up and moving forward. But we don't want to do that from a place of wounding because we see that that leads to war, injustice, violence, and hatred. We want to do that from a place of compassion and love and kindness. And there's this huge medicine, but it isn't something that happens at you or to you. This is something we each need to work with in our own way, and that our culture needs to grapple with. And unfortunately, as someone who has a lot of Aries in our chart, in my chart, it is not happening fast enough for me. And it's probably not happening fast enough for many of you. And we do will see the shadow of Aries. We are seeing the shadow of Aries now. So the wounds of Aries is the hunger. You are also seeing with this Aries energy, a hunger. People are hungry for new experiences and new adventures and to experience things in life that haven't experienced yet. And that's great. That's wonderful. However, sometimes that has to do with avoiding oneself. And it's really important to look at, am I doing this to avoid myself and I just want to be in a new place and a new, or am I doing it because this is higher guidance and higher truth and I'm feeling this seed that was planted that's growing in me and it's directing me in this location. So it's directing me in this way in my life to take on a new challenge that I haven't experienced yet. That's healthy. But what is important to remember is that we take ourselves with us into all the new jobs or the new relationships or the new living situations. We take ourselves and our wounds with us. And so this is a time to kind of get clear again and discern. Am I wanting something new to avoid myself? Or am I wanting something new because this is authentically true for me? Another Aries wound is being impulsive. I guess that's a description of impulsiveness. Overly aggressive, lacking compassion, being a velocity addict and lacking patience. And one of my astrology teachers used this example for the wounded Aries archetype. The deepest Chironic wound is what happens to the samurai. The samurai is dedicated to serving a higher cause. What happens when the samurai discovers that his master or her master is a scoundrel? It's a scam. It's a con. It's not aligned to a work. I gave my life. I was willing to give my life. I was willing to do all these things, and it was not aligned to something worthy. So that is one of the main wounds that is going to be pulled up, but also the wound of unworthiness, of over-identification with being a victim, the wound of being caught in fight and flight. Or freeze, that we are so traumatized from a daily barrage of horrifying, things happening around the world and very upsetting things happening that many people are frozen or are fighting or are fleeing from feelings. And so it's also a time to really stand up for being committed to the cause of regulating our own nervous systems and being present with ourselves and our own energy enough to say, oh, yes, I'm feeling that my jaw tightening. So Aries is about healthy Aries, self-awareness, awareness of one's own energy, getting aware before there's action that comes from a place of wounded. So, oh, my neck is getting tight. My stomach is getting tight. If I speak from this place, it's probably not going to be coming from higher wisdom. So it's about going inside and finding ways to regulate yourself, to come from a higher place. I'm going to include a wonderful talk by Tara Brach. It's, can't remember what it's called, but don't pay attention to the title of it. Really what she's talking about is how to do all of this. I think it's like how to navigate the dark ages, but really what she's talking about is how to navigate exactly what I'm talking about. And she does it so well. So I think I'm just going to include that as a link for you to support you with this process. So Aries wants to stand up for justice and fairness and protect. But she needs to have enough energy, and she needs to not be in fight, flight, or freeze all the time. She needs to be able to take clear, inspired, courageous action that is aligned with her mission and purpose and the greater good of all. And learning how to connect to your own energy and your own experience is another big invitation for these times. Because going back to the sun is conjunct Neptune, Saturn is conjunct Venus in Pisces, and we have a south node eclipse in Libra. And all of this is a theme of, where do you merge too much into the energy of others? Where do you abandon yourself? And how can you come home to be willing to inhabit yourself, to claim your inner space with your own presence and your own love, so that you can know where you begin and another person ends, so that you can engage in balance and reciprocity and knowing, here's my voice, here's your voice. How do we balance it? How do we honor each other? Well, you can't do that if you're not connected to yourself. And another huge wound of the Aries mystery schools is feeling like you don't have a right to be connected to yourself, or you don't know how, or that was something that got sort of taken out of you so early in your life. So this is an opportunity and an invitation and support from the astrological energies that are available now to reconnect to your own experience. But the warning label of that is your own experience you will need to be connecting to is your own suffering and your own pain. And oh, also on the warning label, don't over-identify with it. Just let yourself feel, hold space, hold kindness and compassion for that, so that this can shift and you can find there are other aspects of yourself that wish to engage in this inspired and creative way that is happening. So eclipses, you know, this window of this eclipse is we're headed for tons and tons of change, tons and tons. Eclipses are wild cards. Things come out into the open. You know, there's darkness and there's light in the in minutes, and it sheds light on things. It sheds light on things inside of you. It sheds light in the culture, things we need to see, things we need to know, things we need to hear. And Mercury is right there communicating it to us. So a lot of changes as individuals, as some people say, and that after April, things are just going to be really different. Things are going to happen. It's just going to change things. And I'm not sure if that's true or if it's really over the next 6 months that there'll be so many things that are not able to be predicted, that are unexpected, that are furthering our evolutionary growth and our capacity to heal and hold space for ourselves and each other, to metamorphosize into an expression that we haven't been able to access yet, that will further support our evolutionary collective goals as we move into deeper and deeper Pluto that has recently moved into Aquarius. So, just, you know, big changes, not repeating the wounding cycle, not bringing that deep pattern of over-identification with our wounds into our new beginnings, so that we can move towards this committed, inspired, co-creative action that benefits ourselves and each other. And that allows us to hold space for these new perspectives and new paradigms that are aligned with our core values that are emergent now. So this also means not shaming yourself and not looking back at the past and saying, oh my God, what did I do wrong? But about how did I learn and grow through that? How can I distill some medicine from this painful experience? Where is the how can I, and then how can I share that with others in a way that will assist them in their growth? So this is alchemy, which is transforming lead into gold. You know, this is about learning to love the one who is overly aggressive, or extend love and kindness to the one that is impatient, or the one that speaks before they think. And Aries invites us to trust in ourselves, to trust that we are being guided by something bigger than us as we begin, as we engage in new beginnings, as we are all being led into new territory, into a higher octave of commitment and standing up for truth, equality and justice, and for one another and the earth. So the eclipse is stirring all of this and assisting us in moving beyond the effect of this wound and the over-identification with our traumas and wounds. So we can be willing to show up and commit to our next aligned steps. So the next thing I want to talk about is on April 20th, Jupiter is conjunct Uranus in Taurus. And Jupiter is all about what is, you know, Jupiter is all about what are the most aligned actions to take now. Jupiter is a teacher. Jupiter expands whatever it touches. Jupiter brings in faith, hope, and optimism, and many experiences. Many, it's like going to, I always tell people when they're in their Jupiter cycle, it's like you're going to the beach with a boogie board or a surfboard and every wave is perfect. Your job is to get yourself to the beach, to get in the water, and to make some choices and go for it. However, if you choose too many, you're going to scatter your energy. So Jupiter is conjunct Uranus. So this is sharing with us what are the types of activities to engage in to reach our next level of individual and collective purpose, and what are the blessings and the possibilities, as well as the challenges with this. So Uranus is a higher octave of Aquarius, and we are now working over the next 20 years with the mysteries of Pluto in Aquarius. And so it's very interesting that we have this expansion of these energies. So as I described Uranus, the same is true of Aquarius, but Uranus, it's even more. Uranus is the great awakener. Uranus disrupts where we have been in a holding pattern. Maybe we've been comfortable in that holding pattern and we don't want to change, but Uranus disrupts and move things to a new place. This breaks up the status quo, moves the energy that is stuck. It is associated with Kundalini. It is associated with being struck by lightning in a good way. And we want to make space to be struck by lightning in a good way. What is lightning in this situation? Lightning is flashes of insight, new perspectives, new energies, being in one reality in 1 minute, and then you find something out or you see something new. You know that saying, once you see something, you can't unsee it. This is what we are moving through collectively now. We're seeing a lot. We're overwhelmed and overburdened, actually, by seeing so much things that we can't unsee. But it disrupts the status quo. It breaks up things. It breaks up places where there really has been a deliberate resistance to change. And this has been, you know, ubiquitous all over the place. Resistance to new technology, resistance to new ideas, resistance to stepping into a more full expression of the new earth energies and how they might want to manifest. But I think it's really because we're, you know, we have to kind of, it's being slowed down so that we can do this really deep inner healing work so that we can spring forward into this. Uranus is unconventional. It's eccentric. Uranus loves freedom. And again, this is the same is true for Aquarius. Uranus is humanitarianism, unpredictable change that is aligned with revolution for evolution, higher truth, higher love, egalitarian ideals, fairness, justice, a horizontal approach to life rather than a top down. This is power to the people. This is where the people say, you know, I really care about social security and health benefits and bringing down inflation. And you guys are talking about things that you're not doing anything about this. And people rising up and saying, hey, we all agree on this. You know, we need to raise our voice. I'm just giving you an example. We need to raise our voices and make sure that those who have power are reflecting what the needs of the people are. And, you know, part of the Aries wound is realizing that is not what is happening at all. And I know that many of you realize that, but there's a great awakening of that and a real desire for change from the bottom up for people to want systemic changes that make things more fair. New interventions usually happen in these cycles. New discoveries, new technologies, innovations in medicine, breakthroughs, expansive visions, new possibilities, and expanded consciousness. Brilliance, being, you know, hit by a flash of brilliance. Now, this is also associated with the Tower card. Now, in the Tower card, the Tower is not standing on solid ground. So if you are not standing on solid ground and you're struck by lightning, you're going to fall. But if you are rooted and connected to the earth, it's connecting you to the cosmos. And so those are the two sides of Uranus. It's like, yes, we get more connected to the cosmos and new energy and intuition and guidance and inner divinity and new inventions and breakthroughs and brilliance that can come through into the culture. But if it isn't grounded, boom, things can topple. Or there may be systems or, you know, things that, you know, things baked into the structure or the foundation of how we collectively live our lives that need to be broken apart, that need to be struck by lightning and dissolved and opened up so the new ways of doing things can come in. And I'm not saying that we're going to wake up and after April 20th, this will have happened. That is not how this works. It's the energy is accelerating towards that. It's our job to hold that energy and to find in our own lives what is the honest expression of this. And again, it's bringing all of it together. Where do we need to, you know, everything I've been saying, where do we need to heal so that we can have this inspired action? Where do we need to forgive each other or forgive ourselves for our humanness, accept We are human. Sometimes we're judgmental. Sometimes we say things that maybe we shouldn't have said. Can we forgive ourselves and each other so that we can work together? And sometimes it's much worse than that. Sometimes there's acts of atrocity. Sometimes the unforgivable must be ultimately forgiven so that we can move forward. And this takes what's the right word? It's cooperation. We have to cooperate with these cycles. And every time there's an astrological cycle, there's an invitation. There's a higher octave expression. And that's what I like to talk to you about. But there's also the shadow expression that definitely gets expressed. And as I said, the shadow expression of all of this is upheaval. And deep, deep wounding, you know, trauma. But the higher expression, which many of you, because, you know, I do reading, a lot of readings and coaching and do a lot of healing work. Many people are experiencing a quickening of their, in their life, that they have healed a lot of stuff. And now they're really feeling like, oh yeah, I really can operate more often from that inner light, from that inner higher consciousness. And I have the tools to be holding space and sharing and having compassion for my humanness, where I show up in my foibles and my expressions that are not from the higher consciousness. And I can transmute that pretty quickly. And my friends also, and we forgive each other. You know, there's also a quickening into stepping into a higher level of your purpose and things coming together and you becoming a mentor, you stepping into more healing. It's not all the shadow expression, but in the zeitgeist of the culture, all of it's going to be expressed. So we also look and we see what do we need to pay attention to. So Uranus and Jupiter, what types of activities do we need to engage in to reach our next level of purpose, are in the sign of Taurus, which is an earth sign, which is connected to simplicity. It's connected to the garden, sustainability, permaculture, slowing down, learning how to receive the blessings of being alive and the blessings of being with one another. Taurus likes touch. She is the embodied expression of the feminine in the body. Taurus teaches us to slow down and appreciate and savor and enjoy the beauty of life. And also the earth herself is speaking. She is going through a healing process. She is shaking. She is erupting. She is flooding. She is winding. This will continue with Uranus in Taurus. It's going to continue because the earth is saying, hello, you're focused over there on hating each other. But over here is where you actually need to be paying attention to, and I will help you. And she's going to be expressing more and more. But also it's like catching a wave with this of where do I want to be with, who do I want to be with on this ride of innovative, visionary possibilities of creating something new, waking up to the reality of the conditions on earth as it is, being invited to slow down, to feel and to become present with what is real, what is tangible, what is actually happening versus what is happening in the, you know, whatever, small piece of the pie one might be connected to through internet talk rooms or whatever. This is inviting us to get grounded, to touch, to feel, to talk to each other, to be connected to each other in real and tangible ways. It's much harder to hate another person when you really get to know them and you see their humanness. And this is the invitation here. The invitation is also to really pay attention to how your own nervous system becomes dysregulated and to find those very simple ways of coming back, of looking at the flowers, of hearing the birds. And Tara Brach, I'm going to just connect you to her podcast and a little meditation. Her meditation is about being in the present moment. So I'm going to share that with you as your activity. And I will remind you again also that magnesium and calcium are extremely important when you're dealing with these energies of Uranus and Aquarius, because there's a lot of kinetic, electrical, magnetic energy that we are assimilating, and we need minerals to do that. Otherwise, we can feel very jittery. So Epsom salt baths, but also supplementation with maybe some seaweeds, some kelp, or magnesium and calcium, and mineral-rich foods. Slowing down because the world is going to be speeding up so that you can meet this with consciousness, and so that you can connect to the possibilities, all the possibilities for healing, trusting your intuition and guidance, really hearing, slowing down to hear that inner truth that is guiding you now. So I'm wishing you all a beautiful equinox, and also inviting you to hold the attention for healing, for justice, for peace, for humanitarianism, for compassion, to show up in the world and to focus on that as we have these very powerful energies arising that are really quite creative. Thanks.